everybody. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to check out our other great shows and content on Patriots.com. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome back to Do Your Part. I am your host, Angelique Fisk, and I am joined by the one and the only Matthew Slater. On this episode, we get into staying humble despite a career in the NFL, his work advocating for those dealing with addiction, and a community jamboree event the Slater Family Foundation is hosting in a few weeks. Plus, you get some really cute family stories at the end. And now, my conversation with Matthew Slater. Matthew, how are you doing? What's going on?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for agreeing to come on. I really appreciate it. You are someone that there is just so much to cover, so it's hard to pick a starting point. But, you know, you're someone that you typically, you're like kind of a private guy. You don't do social media. That's like an absolute no-no for you. But at the same time, you have no problem speaking up about things that are important to you, whether, you know, it's at the state house or, you know, at the podium for, you know, media availability in the times of old. So I was curious, how do you strike a balance between being a private family guy, but also an NFL player who has a platform who people will listen to when it's, you know, something that matters to you?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think for me, it was a bit easier when I came into the league. You know, there was no social media, and obviously the landscape has changed quite a bit since then. But, you know, I was raised in such a way where you kind of just kept your family business in-house. But at the same time, I think I saw my parents kind of pick and choose their spots to insert their voice and speak up for causes that were near and dear to their heart. And that's the same thing I've tried to do. I think I spend a lot of time praying about things before I get involved with them. I want to be intentional. I don't want to, you know, just be spewing at the mouth all the time. I want to be intentional with what I say, the things that I get behind. So there is a balance there. I do enjoy anonymity. I don't fancy myself a celebrity. I don't like the things that come with celebrity. So I have a cool job that gives me a cool opportunity to do some things that I'm passionate about, and I try to approach it as such.
And, you know, for those listening who might not know, your father is Pro Football Hall of Famer Jackie Slater. So you grew up in this kind of environment. And obviously the celebrity that comes along with being an NFL player looks a lot different in his day than it does right now. But what kind of things did he kind of prepare you for in, you know, entering this world yourself?
Mm-hmm. Man, there were several pearls of wisdom that my dad passed along to me. I think, you know, remaining humble was something that he always did, even with everything that he's accomplished, because certainly he loved the game. He respected the game. He prepared and competed in such a way where he always gave 100% and had no regrets. But I understand that football doesn't define who I am. It doesn't make me any better than the next man who's, you know, working to try to provide for himself and his family. And in our home, you know, everything we did was as unto the Lord. We worked as if no one was watching except for the Lord, and we wanted to do our work well, do it quietly, and just go about our business.
You did a panel a couple of months ago now with the NFL Alumni Association about addiction in NFL players and NFL alumni. How did you get involved with this kind of topic?
Well, yeah, you know, I've been a spokesperson for AdCare for the last few years. And, you know, AdCare, they deal with recovery from drugs and alcohol. I think it's no mystery that drugs and alcohol plague our society in a lot of ways, and people deal with addiction every day. And, you know, everyone has a different path to why they may end up there. You know, different things happen in life. You make a wrong decision here or there, and you end up kind of flat on your back. So it's been huge for me to partner with AdCare, because I hope people that are in those situations believe that they can pick themselves up and get out of those situations. So for me, it all started with trying to be a voice for those battling against addiction, trying to offer encouragement, let them know that it's okay to get help. And then I connected with some former players speaking about addiction specifically within NFL players and NFL alumni. And, you know, addiction in our community, it doesn't discriminate. I mean, just because we play sports or have a high-profile job, guys still have issues that they have to deal with. and they deal with them sometimes in unhealthy ways. And again, everyone's path there is different. Maybe you had a surgery, you start taking pain pills, you become addicted. But my hope is that we engage these people a little bit better, especially in our community, offer them the resources and support that they need to try to get out of these situations, kind of eliminate some of the stigmas that we have in place when it comes to addiction, and just get these people help. I mean, look, we're all going to get knocked down. Life is going to knock all of us down. We're all going to turn to different things to deal with that. And for those that have turned to drugs and alcohol, we hope we can kind of redirect and get them back on the right path, back to, you know, their whole selves again.
You know, obviously, as you said, this impacts everyone and anyone. It doesn't discriminate. But I think in the case of players in the NFL, it's such a unique combination of, it's almost like a perfect storm. Like, it could really set someone up for failure, where you have a ton of money. And if you're a young guy and you've never had this kind of money, like getting these kinds of checks, you have exposure to, you know, right and wrong kind of people, people who are trying to influence you one way or the other. You have, especially if you just retire, you don't have structure for the first time in your life. So I was wondering, you know, what kinds of things or what kinds of conversations do you have with teammates to make sure that they're setting themselves up for success, like emotionally, like mentally, well-being, in the locker room?
That's a great question. I think for me, it's important that each of us, including myself, really have a strong sense of our identity. And I think sometimes guys get in trouble when they put too much of their identity, too much stake in to what they do. And that's taken away from you. You know, football doesn't come to a pretty end for any of us. Then they're kind of lost and they're struggling and they're trying to find footing. Any person in this life who has a strong anchor is going to be able to deal with adversity a little bit better. When the waves of life come, the storms of life come, you need something to anchor you. So I've always tried to encourage guys to think in that way. For me, that's driven by my faith in Christ, because I know my anchor and my purpose is in Him, and that's my real identity. So, you know, I try to share that message with as many guys as I possibly can. For many of us, it's going to be faith. That's going to be the vehicle to us finding stability. But it's different for everyone. But I just encourage guys to do that, so that when it comes time to transition out of football, or when something comes up over the course of your football career, you can remind yourself that, hey, you know, my purpose and my meaning are much more than what I'm doing on a football field.
And, you know, as a veteran and a leader in this locker room, I'm sure you have had all kinds of variations of that conversation over and throughout the years. What is an example of someone who kind of taught you how to have those conversations? You know, you're dealing with heavy things and, you know, it can be difficult to have conversations like that. So how did you learn to kind of be a guiding force like that?
By listening and watching to a lot of guys, so many great veteran leaders. I just tried to shut my mouth every day and listen and watch. But, you know, one guy that always comes to mind when people ask me about this, these sort of things, is Benjamin Watson. Benjamin was such a great role model and leader. When you talk about a man of faith and principle that modeled it daily with great transparency, great humility, Benjamin. So I learned a lot from watching Benjamin, the way he engaged his teammates, the way he engaged the community, the way he stood for the things that he, it really was great for me. It was very impactful. But there were a number of guys over the years, whether it was Sammy Morris or Sam Aiken. I mean, I can 15, 20 guys that really helped me see how to engage guys beyond the game, off the football field, how to carry myself with humility and act and move with purpose. So, you know, I am who I am because of many great men and women into my life, and I'm thankful for all of them.
And, you know, there are young guys in the locker room who, if I ask them this question, you know, 4 years down the line, they're going to be like, it was Matthew Slater that helped me kind of shape into a locker room leader. But who is someone of the younger generation that you're seeing things that show to you that they will be a force to be reckoned with in terms of being a leader in the locker room and helping their teammates find their way when in matters completely unrelated to football?
Yeah, that's really a great question. And I think there are a number of tremendous young men that we have in our locker. I got a chance to spend a lot of time with Gunnar Olszewski and Damian Harris this offseason, as well as a few other young guys that were in there. But those two guys, I think they have a desire to lead, and they're being very intentional about trying to gather information and learn and just make sure that they can lead and take the torch when it's their time. They ask all the right questions. They listen. They've been fantastic. But I could name, you know, Jakob Johnson and other guys. There's tons of guys that have gone out and tried to be, you know, leaders within their own groups. And I think they're going to do a great job.
And, you know, I think any year, any given year, there are going to be points that are tumultuous or emotional or someone's going through something in their personal life. But especially 2020, where do you even begin? You know, everyone was fundamentally changed by last year. And so what kinds of things did you do as a team to make sure that you were there for each other? Because, you know, football, yeah, it pays the bills, but there were things that were going on that took far precedent than the game that we love.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, we've all been challenged in some way, shape, or form over the last 16 to 18 months. You have to be intentional with your conversations. You have to be intentional with how you try to connect relationally with guys. And, you know, that's something that we all tried to do last year. We tried to listen and learn from each other. The one thing that I really enjoy about our locker room is that not everyone agrees on everything that's going on right now. And I think that's a good thing. You want diversity in thought. You want diversity in opinions. But we have to learn how to disagree to an extent and be a little bit tolerant of views that are different than ours and try to learn. And I think we did that in several ways last year. Certainly the opportunities were presented via everything that happened with COVID, everything that happened with Mr. Floyd and that situation. But I think it gave us a chance to really grow. And I think you need a little bit of tension for there to be growth. And we certainly had the tension presented to us, and it grew us as a team. And I think the relationship equity that we built up last year is really going to benefit us as a football team moving into the future.
Great. And then, you know, to take a quick pivot away from this, the reason that you're welcome here anytime that you would like to be on the podcast.
Well, thank you.
But the reason that we're talking is because you and your family are hosting the Community Jamboree presented by the Slater Family Foundation in Providence on August 7th. So can you kind of explain what the event is and why your family wanted to put something like this on?
Yeah, you know, I have to give a lot of kudos to my wife for really taking the lead on this, and she spent a lot of time. But for us, it's about connecting people. So this is essentially a resource fair. We're bringing out community groups in the Providence area that provide services to people in their community, and then we're bringing out people from the community, encouraging them to come out, hopefully make some connections, and then be able to utilize those resources moving forward. So it's really about connection, and I think COVID took away connection for us for a little while last year, and you realize the value in connecting with people, spending time with one another, doing life as a community. So for us, we wanted that. The heart behind the work that we're going to be doing is really about people. It's about serving people, showing them the love of Christ, helping them where we can, filling needs when we can. So we're excited that we're in a position where we feel like we can give back and connect with people.
So what kind of resources are going to be available at the event?
First of all, there's going to be free food. So we know everybody likes to eat.
What more do you need to hear?
You know, so there's going to be free food. This whole event is free. But for example, you have groups, whether it's people that work with the homeless, people that do at-risk teen outreach and stuff like that. They're kind of presenting their programs. Hey, this is the demographic that we serve. If you know anyone that falls in this demographic, or if you fall into it and you have an issue, we'd like to serve you. So there's a ton of groups like that. They're going to be there. As I mentioned, the churches will be giving us some entertainment via the choirs and stuff like that. but also talking about their ministry and the things that they're doing outreach wise. So there'll be all that available. And our hope is that people that are living in these communities that maybe don't know that, hey, you know, I have a teenager who's maybe struggling with this or that. I didn't know that this group of folks was seeking to engage that demographic. I can maybe push my teenager in that direction, get them connected with someone. So that's the hope there. The resources will be, you know, kind of a wide spectrum of that. But they can find out more if they come to the event on August 7th.
Oh, a teaser. Look at it. He's an advertising professional now. and something you really touched on that, I don't know, feels really important, so I'm going to ask about it again. But, you know, connection and community, and especially in after a year we were all isolated. But it feels, you know, community is something that can sometimes be lost in an age of social media. I mean, you can have it online, like there is value in that, but like gathering in person, it feels like that's something that is missing for a lot of people, and especially after last year, it's kind of nice to be able to be around people in person, if not overwhelming sometimes, but it's nice. So can you just speak a little bit to the importance of having, you know, community and having and being, and why it's such an important thing for you to try to build up with this event?
Right, absolutely. You mentioned something. It's funny because you almost feel like we're more disconnected with social media than we were beforehand. And I do feel like that's something to kind of deep dive into. But, you know, I truly believe that as people, we're better when we're working together, when we're serving together, when we are humble enough to embrace the concept of community and, you know, kind of leave the ideas of individualism aside. You know, we cling closely to individualism, especially here in America. But when I look at community and I think about community, the first thing I think about is the community that was displayed in the Bible, especially the church in Acts and different places throughout the passages of scripture. But community is vital. And I think we were made to be relational. We were made to be in community, working together, serving together, doing life together. And that was taken from us last year. There's no doubt about that. And I think we've seen the results, mental health crisis, drugs, alcohol, things like that. So, you know, just the idea of being around people, having dialogue. Maybe it's, you know, dialogue that's going well. Maybe it's aggressive dialogue, disagreeing. I don't know. But just doing life together, I think, is so important. And I think it makes us better. It brings out the best in us. So that's the heart behind what we're trying to do, is just make the community there in Providence stronger. It's a community that my wife and I really love and have spent a lot of time in. And we're excited about what the future may hold.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I can't remember what the conversation, I mean, 6 years of conversation, but I know you had mentioned once that Providence is a special city for you and your family. So can you kind of explain what it means to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my wife and I met in Providence. She was doing her residency at Rhode Island Hospital when a mutual friend introduced us. So a lot of our dating was spent down in Providence. All three of our children were born in Providence. We attended church in Providence. We've done life in Providence for quite a while. My wife actually longer than I. She lived in Johnston, right on the Providence border, for a long time. So it's just a community that we really love. A community that's really poured into us and helped us, especially as young people, as a young couple. So we want to try to give back to it, embrace it as much as we can, and, you know, help the people there because we love the people there.
And I think it's so special that you're making sure your family is involved with this. I mean, your children range in ages, but why is it so important for them to see, you know, what their parents are doing to help, you know, build community and to give back and to use this platform for good, kind of like what your dad did for you?
Certainly. Well, as a parent, you have a responsibility to pour into your children the right way. And for us, it's important that we're intentional with our children so that they can understand that, hey, when we do life, and mom and dad may have had success professionally, but it's important for us to give back. Everything that we have has been given to us by God, and it's important that we share that and serve others. And we feel like you get so much more in life when you serve with humility and grace and try to meet people's needs where they are. And we want to model that behavior for our children. We don't just want to talk about it. We want them to see it. We want them to participate in it, and then hopefully continue that on as they grow up and leave our home. So we're excited about our kids being able to be exposed to this. They're not going to understand it all, obviously, at five, soon to be four and soon to be two, but that's something that we're hoping, you know, they really, really pick up and gain some traction.
I just saw your family, for the listeners, at the Ron Burton Training Village. We went with the Patriots Foundation. A big group of us went out and volunteered. Was it 2 weeks ago now, 3 weeks ago?
Yes.
From the time of this recording. But they are a rambunctious group. So how are you? Yeah. how are they doing? How are they? Are they keeping you on your toes as a training camp is about to begin?
Well, they are a very rambunctious group. And they have, you know, we have a lot of fun with them, but, you know, a couple of the kids are in camp. The youngest, he's just two, so he's just running around the house, but they're keeping us busy. Such a blessing to have children. They're one of God's greatest gifts. So they give us a lot of life, a lot of energy. They keep us on our toes, that's for sure.
Well, I think it was funny because before we left, there was a nice little bus from Gillette Stadium, and your youngest son was he was chilling out on the grass. He was so chill. And I said something to you about it. I was like, oh, he's great. He's doing great. And you were like, he is never like this. And then at the end never. Of the day, we were doing an interview, and he's just running around behind you and came up. And I was like, okay, now I see where the energy is.
Yeah. You know, they say like sometimes the third child is like the wild man, and in our case, Noah is definitely the wild man. Like, he doesn't stop moving all day. He's got so much energy. So we have our hands very full.
Well, like, you can't say you didn't cardio train this off season then, if you're chasing after
him. I can't say that. I got plenty of that.
Yeah. Awesome. And then, you know, I want to end the episode with the same question I ask everybody. What is something that you're grateful for this week, or something that made you happy?
You know, I'm grateful for the life I have. Every day I wake up and God gives me on this earth, I'm thankful for that. I have a beautiful family, a wife who puts up with my craziness, three kids that are healthy. And I am very, very blessed. And I thank God every day for the family that he's given me and the opportunities he's given me. I'm just humbled by it all.
Well, thank you very much for being here today, Matthew.
Absolutely.
For those of you in the Providence area, you can check out the Community Jamboree on August 7th. What time does that start, Matthew?
It's 12 to 5.
All right, 12
to 5.
So you got plenty of time to get down there if you're in the Providence area.
Plenty of time. We look forward to having everyone out.
Well, I cannot thank you again for making the time. I know it's about to be a crazy week for you. Back to work.
No problem at all. Happy to do it.
Hey, it's Angelique of Patriots.com. Like what you heard? Then hit the subscribe button and leave us a comment or a review. Be sure to check out Patriots.com for other great shows and content. See you later!